We live in the atmosphere of a dynamic, magnetic star that interacts with the Earth, the solar system, and space beyond. My name is Troy Klein, and welcome to another Sun Earth Day Highlights podcast. In this edition, I'll share my experience at this year's Astronomical Society of the Pacific Conference in Chicago. Founded in 1889 in San Francisco, the Astronomical Society of the Pacific, or ASP, long ago outgrew its regional-sounding name. It eventually became one of the nation's leading organizations devoted to improving people's understanding, appreciation, and enjoyment of astronomy and space. Now, what a perfect place to learn more about the latest in astronomy education and, of course, Sun Earth Day. So with that in mind, I grabbed my handy digital recorder and headed to Chicago, where I was able to record the highlights and reactions from two of the incredible sessions I attended. The first session I attended and presented in was, of course, about the Sun Earth Day program, and it was called Space Weather Around the World. Now, its focus was the use of educational technology to engage audiences and to increase their interest in science content. Sound good? Well, it was. Elaine Lewis and Lou Mayo, and yours truly, discussed and demonstrated how space science content can be presented to a variety of audiences using proven educational technology techniques, which include the use of green screens, podcasting, webcasting, and distance learning. One of the participants, Amanda Maynard, shared her thoughts about the impact of podcasting. Now, Amanda is a senior educator for formal programs at the Adler Planetarium in Chicago.
Podcasting has been very successful for our institution as well. We put out a podcast every 2 weeks on the night and day in the Chicago skies and at nighttime and, of course, during the day. And it started off kind of small where it was just a couple hundred people, and now it's at least 2,000 downloads per episode. And we have regular subscribers, and not only does it give people, you know, additional information, but, you know, for people that can't come to our institution, I know of teachers that use it in the classrooms. And, you know, sometimes when, since I work with teachers, field trip funding and things like that are sometimes really hard to come by. You only have one trip a year. And so when you have additional resources like that, and they can essentially bring our wealth of information from our institution into their classrooms that easily, it's definitely a positive. So podcasting has been very successful for us. By the way, as an aside, I can't very well talk about our podcasting without letting you all know, if you go to adlerplanetarium.org, you can download our Adler Night and Day podcasts and subscribe to them. Just throw that in there.
During part of the session, an interesting discussion developed about the amateur astronomy community and the tremendous impact they can have on education outreach. This is what Lou Mayo and Amanda Maynard had to say.
There are huge numbers of people who are either officially amateur astronomers because they belong to a club, or they may identify themselves as amateur astronomers even if they don't belong to a club. There are a lot more of those. Or just people who are, you know, interested in amateur astronomy and occasionally.
I think a lot of what we've talked today is good for me in the sense that it reinforces what we're actually doing at our institution as well. For example, with the amateur astronomers, we do have a number of affiliations with our planetarium, and I think from those affiliations we also in turn have a lot of volunteers from those astronomy clubs. And the best part about that is their enthusiasm for astronomy, in that they will volunteer. We have at least a dozen that are very dedicated to the point where they actually have to be certified to work in our observatory, and then they'll come out at 3 a.m. for the lunar eclipse we just had, you know, a week and a half. So you get a very strong sense of commitment from amateur astronomers, and that's definitely a resource, especially in an informal institution when it seems like funding and staff time and that type of thing is, you know, at a premium sometimes. So when you can get people that are that interested in wanting to share that information with the general public, that's a strong asset. And then also with the green screen technology, we actually have a green screen at our institution, but we really don't use it. I've been there for 2 years and I don't think I've ever seen anybody use our green screen. So it's ideas that you presented today, which are things that I can, of course, take back to my colleagues, and perhaps we can better utilize the things that we do have. So,
Elaine Lewis from the Goddard Space Flight Center helped to close the session with a few Sun-Earth Day words of advice.
When we take our theme for Sun-Earth Day, we have podcasts, we have what we call tech through time, we have imagery, we have activities for formal and informal for our scientists. We put all types of resources on that webpage under that theme. We also archive the past themes. So if you still are interested in ancient observatories, all of that wealth is there, including our webcast. So it's there for you to take and choose and use what you want to create your own program or your own classroom experience.
The next session I attended was, well, what can I say but standing room only. Presenters Isabel Hawkins and Felipe Tapia hosted a session called The Living Astronomy and People of the Mayan World Today. How could I not attend that? Just moments before the presentation, I was able to interview one of the presenters, Isabel Hawkins from the UC Berkeley Space Sciences Laboratory.
Well, good afternoon, Isabel.
Hi, Troy. Good to see you.
Oh, it's good to see you, too. Now, I understand we're at the ASP conference right now in Chicago, and I understand you'll be doing a session on Mayan astronomy and culture?
That's right, because this conference is all about astronomy and astronomy education. So we're very happy to be here in Chicago, the beautiful, windy city, except that it's hot and muggy right now, but it's very beautiful. And last night, actually, we went to the Adler Planetarium, and it was an open house for the conference participants. And some of my colleagues from the Yucatan, who now live in San Rafael, California, went with me to the Adler, and we saw a planetarium show that featured Chichen Itza, one of the Mayan sites, a thousand-year-old site in the Yucatan, that has a pyramid that marks the pass of the seasons through the equinox with a beautiful light and shadow phenomenon. And so we're going to show at our presentation, which is actually called The Astronomy and People of the Mayan World Today. We're going to show many different sites in the Yucatan that show astronomical phenomena, particularly marking the equinoxes and solstices.
Well, that sounds incredible, and right off the top of my head, and what comes instantly to my mind, is that we had a Sun-Earth Day event that focused on the Yucatan, and where you were actually in the webcast, and people can still download that and see that webcast on the Sun Earth Day site.
That's right. If you go to sunearthday.nasa.gov, you can actually go to the Ancient Observatories section and see for yourself a beautiful event that we recorded there, in which there were 60,000 people next to that pyramid watching that event. And so we're trying to bring all that excitement about Mayan astronomy to the Hispanic community in California and other parts of the United States where there's a large immigrant population from the Yucatan. And actually, so many people still speak Mayan, the Mayan language. They wear their traditional dresses. They share with us all of their beautiful cultural expressions like dancing, etc. So we're going to bring a little bit of everything. If you come to our session, you'll hear a little bit of Mayan language. You'll see a dance performance by children.
Wonderful.
You'll see the children doing astronomy activities. Mm-hmm. And then we'll also have a presentation. My co-presenter is Felipe Tapia from a group called Yucatecan Pride in California.
I remember
California.
Him. Yeah. When we were in the Yucatan with Sun Earth Day, he was there.
He's very active, a very active community leader, so we're very pleased to be able to collaborate with them.
Well, wonderful. On our supporting podcast page for this podcast, we'll make sure that we have some images of the experience today and
great.
From Sun Earth Day, and then we'll put any links that you think would be helpful to the communities out there listening to us right now.
That would be wonderful. We really hope to be able to spread this program to other parts of the country.
Wonderful.
So look for us and keep the Mayan World Today in sight.
Well, let's join your session here in just a few moments, and I'll record maybe some of the singing or dancing that we'll hear while we're there.
Excellent. Thank you so much for your support.
Thank you.
Troy. It's great.
This session started with an introduction to Yucatec Maya, the language spoken by more than 1 million people in the Yucatan today.
Estamos aquí para darles a conocer el trabajo que se está haciendo con los niños sobre la cultura maya y la astronomía.
We're here to share with you the work we're doing on behalf of our children
on Mayan astronomy and Mayan culture.
That introduction was followed by a presentation that gave us a glimpse of the living culture of the Mayan people in the Yucatan, where science and astronomy are practiced in a manner that integrates every other aspect of their culture into a native science. As the session progressed, we were guided through several activities specifically developed to position astronomy within its cultural context as an effective means of capturing the interest and enabling authentic participation of underrepresented populations in science. As many of you may know, the Maya built cities containing buildings aligned with the sun, the moon, and the stars to mark important times of the year. However, during the session, we learned that many of the Mayan astronomical traditions are still practiced today by the Maya of the Yucatan Peninsula, southern states in Mexico, and other areas in Mesoamerica. At the close of the session, we were treated to a traditional dance by an impeccably dressed Mayan family. As you can hear, the music was quite festive. I hope you enjoyed this edition of Sun Earth Day Highlights. We're very interested in hearing your questions and comments about the Sun Earth Day podcast. If you have something to say, send an email to sunearthdaypodcast@mail630.gsfc.nasa.gov. If you didn't have a pen handy, you can always find our email on the Sun Earth Day podcast supporting page at sunearthday.nasa.gov. Don't forget to visit the Sun Earth Day podcast supporting page for images and captions. Sun Earth Day is a program sponsored by the NASA Sun Earth Connection Education Forum at the Goddard Space Flight Center and at the UC Berkeley Space Sciences Laboratory.
This is Troy Klein signing off.